It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. On Friday, President Trump brought an end to the 35-day shutdown by agreeing to sign a continuing resolution. It keeps the quarter of the government that was unfunded running through February 15th, and that means Congress and the president have 18 days to hash out a long-term solution. Let's hear from you at 800-642-1234. Who's to blame for hardships during the shutdown? Is the president responsible or is it Congress? Maybe you fault everyone. Should anyone claim this as a win? Should the government shut down again in several weeks if the president and Congress can't agree on border funding? Call in 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Andra Gillespie for analysis. She is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta, and she teaches courses on African-American politics, political participation, and race and elections. Andra, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So headlines screaming over the weekend about who won, who lost in this deal to temporarily open the federal government. Are there clear winners and losers in this agreement?
Well, most people are looking at the balance between who got more of what they were seeking from the shutdown. Did President Trump actually get, part of his funding wall? How did Speaker Pelosi fare? And so since President Trump didn't get anything as a result of the shutdown, then, most people have, do assess that this is a win for Speaker Pelosi.
And he's been taken to task by conservatives, right-leaning conservatives, that he's balking. We heard conservative commentator Ann Coulter say that he promised something for 18 months and he lied about it. Fox News host Laura Ingraham said it's clear that Trump did not come out on top. I'm not going to spin it for you. How does Friday's deal change President Trump's relationship with his base?
So, there are lots of people who say that if he doesn't deliver on this promise, then he's lost this particular base. I think we have to wait and see what surveys look like. So when I look at things like his approval rating and I see other things, I see the core of his base is still there because that core 37% is likely that strong base of support that he's already had. I'm not going to try to spin this. This is tough for President Trump. When President Trump made the promise about the wall, it was a promise that involved having to get other branches of government involved. Like, there was no way that there was going to be a wall without some type of authorization from Congress. And so Congress was going to, have to be a part of this process. Even if arguably Mexico was going to pay for the wall, and he couldn't make campaign promises for the 535 voting members of Congress. And so I think this is a really important lesson for people when they are listening to politicians make promises because of the way the framers set up our government, because there is separation of powers. These elected officials can't make unilateral decisions, and so sometimes they try as hard as they possibly can. And they will fall short. And so I think then voters have to decide whether and how much they want to penalize an elected official for not being able to get consensus to get everybody else to go along with their idea.
So formal talks starting this week and the president tweeting this is in no way a concession. Is this as far from over as the administration is saying?
Well, President Trump has said such. Given the fact that he has been known to change his mind about other things, I think we have to wait to see. Now, I think that the bigger question is, do congressional Republicans have the stomach to weather another shutdown? So he's saying that, if we don't rattle out, an immigration plan that includes funding for a wall within the next few weeks by Valentine's Day, basically, then we could shut the government down again. I think given how poorly President Trump fared in the last shutdown, given the hardship that we recognized happened during the previous shutdown, especially toward the end where, there were key infrastructure effects. So where they were having to, shut down temporarily airports because of, lack of air traffic controllers and or TSA officers in places, right? I don't know if there actually is a lot of, appetite to be willing to undergo another shutdown so soon after a previous shutdown. So even though President Trump is making those kinds of threats, I think strategically he might not be in a position to be able to make good on those threats and may change his mind actually between now and then.
Talking with Andra Gillespie, an associate professor of political science at Emory, did your opinion change as the partial government shutdown went on? What did you hear that made you think about it differently? Who's to blame for hardships during the shutdown? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Sura from Viola. Sura, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm curious as to why President Trump and the Republicans didn't pass this bill while the Republicans controlled Congress. This seems disingenuous to me to try to blame the Democrats when my understanding is they didn't have enough votes among Republicans before. So what's going on with that?
So there was a continuing resolution that was passed in December before the old Congress ended its work. That the Senate-passed bill did not include border wall funding. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell shepherded that bill through Congress because that was what he had the votes to be able to get. And he had a signal from the White House that President Trump would agree to that bill, just sort of recognizing what the political reality was. And so he gets that bill through the Senate, and then President Trump indicated that he wasn't going to sign the bill. And he indicated that he wasn't going to sign the bill because he was getting pushed from his right flank to say now or never, so let's see if we could try to get something. But that was at the end of the 115th Congress, and with the Christmas holiday, they weren't going to return in time actually be able to address that in the 115th Congress. And so, you know, President Trump is now learning what divided government looks like. And so it just, you know, appears to be a severe miscalculation on his part.
Mark called in, couldn't stay with us. He says, all of our politicians are at fault. They should have solved this issue with the border 3 decades ago. Is this conflict we're seeing here, Andra, just decades in the making?
It's funny. So my focus, my research area is not in immigration. So I assume he's thinking about going back to the amnesty from the Reagan administration. I would say at the very least, the impasse that we have seen and the spark that we have seen about immigration goes back more than a decade to George W. Bush's administration when they were talking about immigration reform. But the issue is that there have been attempts to deal with comprehensive immigration reform, but there aren't enough votes to be able to pass it. And in many ways, part of the reason why we've had a hard time being able to address this issue is that when people do start to talk about how to address, the status of undocumented immigrants, there's a lot of debate and disagreement about what to do for those populations and what to do for their families, you know, oftentimes who are of mixed status, and, you know, sort of what's fair and what's practical. And we also have to keep in mind that there, that as we have sort of developed in our discussions of immigration, and we see people who are taking hard lines on immigration, they often frame that type of discussion in rhetoric that, at best could be perceived as racially charged and at worst could just be perceived as outright racist.
Andra Gillespie stays with us as we continue our check-in on the government shutdown, which is over for now. She is an associate professor of political science at Emory. Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute. You're with us on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. If lawmakers and the president run past the February 15th deadline without reaching a compromise, it'll trigger phase two of the government shutdown, which would be a major hit to federal agencies that have already blown through reserve funds. We're looking ahead as the federal government reopens, gathering your insights at 800-642-1234. Are you rethinking your vote for people in Congress or for the president? Is it because of the shutdown? Or are you unhappy with the temporary agreement they struck and that's got you second-guessing your support? Did your opinion change in any way during the partial government shutdown? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Andra Gillespie stays with us. She is an associate professor of political science at Emory University and a political analyst. Andra, Republican senators met last Thursday to discuss the shutdown, and it's been reported that tensions were high, and Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin told Majority Leader Mitch McConnell that this is your fault. Do we know if that meeting was a breaking point of any kind?
So I think we'll probably be debating that for a long period of time because there was a lot of stuff that happened in the 24 to 36 hours leading up to the end of the shutdown. So, you know, I think part of it was this meeting that I have heard about as well. I think it was, LaGuardia Airport in New York shutting down. So, like, that could have a cascading effect around the country, and in particular because New York is our financial hub, that also has an effect if people can't get in and out of town to be able to do business. I think it was the survey numbers that were coming out that suggested, you know, that President Trump was the one who was, you know, being blamed and that hadn't changed over the course of the shutdown, particularly after he, you know, made his offer to Democrats the weekend before. So I think there were a lot of issues that are possible, you know, explanations that happened at once. And so it just became very, very clear that he was the one that was losing in the court of public opinion, and so he was going to have to be the one to concede, even if he doesn't call it a concession.
Well, let's hear some audio from over the weekend. President Trump's acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney says another shutdown is on the table, and here he is yesterday answering a question from Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation on CBS.
Is the president really prepared to shut down the government again in 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think he actually is. Keep in mind, he's willing to do whatever it takes to secure the border.
And so there we see a fervent yes. Andra, what do you make of this strategy?
Well, I mean, so one, I think we have to keep in mind that President Trump changes his mind. So even though that's where he is now, we don't know exactly where he'll be by then. He may very well be there, but we don't know that that's necessarily true. I think that strategy is incredibly risky. I think it would have been risky, you know, regardless, but it's incredibly risky given the shutdown that we've previously been in. And, while the president is the president, in this situation, I think they have to factor in the amount of leverage that they do or don't have as a result of it. And so they might not have the same type of leverage that they had, you know, on December 18th or 20th before the previous shutdown began. And even if they can go into another shutdown, there is legislation that is being discussed. I think it may be being introduced in the Senate by Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, where I think they are potentially trying to take the shutdown tool off the table, right? Mm. And so, you know, one of the things is that the legislative branch was not affected by the shutdown. So I think they may start taking it, making this tool available so that if they can't get budget resolutions passed, that Congress is, in fact, affected by it as a deterrent to try to stop these things from happening in the future. So even if they do another shutdown, we will see whether or not there's actually a way to sort of prevent Congress from, you know, sort of lapsing into not passing continuing resolutions or the president not signing them in order to have a policy argument.
Well, let's go back and hear a little bit from Friday. When the president spoke Friday, he said this is about working across the aisle on border security.
I have seen and heard from enough Democrats and Republicans that they are willing to put partisanship aside, I think, and put the security of the American people first.
Do we know what he's talking about here, or which lawmakers have said this during the shutdown?
So I have not heard names. There may have been one interview over the weekend where a few names perhaps were thrown out. And I think it's always important to sort of see whether or not those were actually private conversations or whether or not people are just trying to glean things from what folks were saying on television. But in general, the administration appears to be somewhat cagey in terms of identifying Democrats who say that they're willing to work or to support a wall. And I think it's really important to think about the difference, some of the differences between what President Trump offered, particularly what he offered last Saturday that did include other things other than the wall or the fence, versus what Democrats, I think, would be willing to offer. And so one, I think there is the issue of the wall and how President Trump framed his campaign and the racial undertones to that. And then there's this issue of what does comprehensive border security look like with whether or not we're talking about fencing in some places, but also sensors so that you can detect people crossing the border illegally, whether we're talking about port interdiction to keep drugs out of the United States, whether we're talking about additional border security officers. So there are all these kinds of things that are on the table that actually have to be discussed as part of a big, broad, fleshed out border security plan. And until we're having that conversation, then we're not actually having a real border security conversation that I would argue is good for the country and has the potential to be bipartisan. But it's going to be really hard for President Trump just to be able to have moral authority on this because of the way that he deployed this as a campaign tactic. It's just going to be really hard for people to sit down and trust him and trust that he's got the best interests of the country at heart. For some people, I know there's some people who completely support him on this, but I think a lot of people on the other side have a hard time with it because of his racist language.
Well, going back to what you said earlier, that we're now seeing some deviations from this wall, drones, software to identity people on terrorist watch lists or let authorities know of a security breach, so different smart barrier technologies. How is that sitting with people who want a wall?
So I think we'd have to survey test this. I've actually not seen specific poll questions to know what people think about, but I could see some people who, you know, got their heart set on a wall because that was what was promised, perhaps, you know, need to be brought along for that. And that's President Trump's job, right? Because as he's gotten into the job and sort of learned the complexities of the job, he could do a great service to the country in terms of teaching people sort of like what he's learned and seeing sort of how he's adjusted. So there's a way to do it that I think actually could be really meaningful and really important, or there's a way to do it for political effect that could be perceived to be self-serving and actually divisive.
The White House revised estimates of the impact on the economy during the shutdown. Experts there said it cost double what they first thought. What do we know about the long-term effects of the shutdown right now?
So based on the figures that I've heard, the shutdown actually cost more than the wall did. And I think especially if there were a second shutdown, we could be talking about the ripple effects actually having a negative effect on economic growth for the first quarter of the United States. So that's also something that President Trump cares about. And so it's something that he has to think about in terms of whether or not it's actually worth it to have another shutdown if there isn't a comprehensive immigration and border security agreement that's reached by the end of, by the end of this 3-week period. So in particular, just focusing on the border security part of that. So, it wasn't just, the 800,000 workers who didn't get paid. It was them, you know, not going out to buy lunch. It was them delaying important purchases. It was them delaying paying bills. It may not have affected you directly if you weren't a government employee or married to one, but it certainly affected, entire communities that were, crippled as a result of the lack of economic activity.
What do you think needs to happen in the next few weeks to avoid another shutdown and find a border security deal that both sides will accept?
If both sides are constantly meeting with one another, I think there has to be a discussion of all of the things that need to be addressed in order to address the drug and humanitarian issues that are being brought to the table on these issues. So, for instance, if you care about the flow of drugs, then I think there has to be a discussion of, well, how do drugs actually enter this country? And are we doing enough to make sure that we're doing things to stop that? Because it's not being carried across the border, you know, on people who are, you know, walking across the Rio Grande or trying to swim across the Rio Grande. It's being brought across in ports. And so we, you know, you might want to sort of focus on that. Do we need wells in places where sensors can work? What are we doing about tunnels? I think we have to have a serious conversation and not have nice, simplistic arguments, because this is a much more complex problem than it appears, which is part of the objection to the wall, because that seems like a simplistic solution to a very, very complicated and nuanced problem.
Andra, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Andra Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta. Gillespie teaches courses on African American politics, political participation, and race and elections. Coming up, a lawsuit claims Epic's software isn't suitable for blind and low vision users. We look closer at the lawsuit and what the workplace environment is like for people with visual impairments. News is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.